Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Don. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, where discussion of the Mideast and Iran continues. If you've got questions, I'm sure my next guest will have some thoughts and potentially answers too. Her name is Allison McManus. She's from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Before joining CAP Action, Allison was the managing director at the Freedom Initiative, where she advocated for political prisoners in the Mideast and North Africa. She also served as the research director of the Tahrir Institute for Mideast Policy from 2014 to 2019. So it's great to talk with you again. I think the last time you were with me, Allison, we were talking about the impact on veterans of the big, brutal bill and other policy decisions by the Trump administration. We may end up linking those two together here a bit as well. When we were preparing for this interview, you described our bombing of Iran as the most significant military action in the Mideast in the past decade. From your vantage point, do you consider it to be successful? And I suppose success would be judged on whether or not the objective was achieved. And that begs a question about whether or not we have an accurate assessment of what has happened at Fordo. So what's your take on the relative success of this mission?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me back, Maggie, and I'm really glad that you're covering this issue and continuing to ask these questions for your audience. I would even back up a step further and say, what were the objectives to begin with? Because I think that is still somewhat in question, particularly if we consider the totality of action that we saw from the time that the Israeli government decided to launch strikes on June 13th up until this tenuous ceasefire went into place. And there we can articulate, you know, or we could deduce that there were a couple of objectives. Certainly, the main objective was to destroy Iran's nuclear program, and that can mean a few different things. But then, of course, there was a secondary objective, particularly for the Israelis, of total regime change in Iran. And this is something that Trump expressed openness to, even in the past week, despite the fact that he then, announced this ceasefire. Obviously, we didn't see regime change. Still an open question about whether that remains in the long term an objective of the Israeli government, whether that remains an objective of this Trump administration. I think it's really important that, we continue to ask whether or not that is a medium and long term objective. But, certainly we didn't see that, take place. To the question of whether or not Iran's nuclear program was destroyed, here we could say, was Iran, certainly no.
In its entirety. They were able to move material. Please continue.
Yeah, exactly. So the quick and easy answer there is no. If we think about why would it be important to target Iran's nuclear program, really what we're talking about is Iran's ability to achieve nuclear weapons, right? And so Iran at this point, as far as we know, does not have a nuclear weapon. They didn't have a nuclear weapon before the strikes took place. And so really what the objective would be to put in place some kind of protection against Iran being able to constitute a nuclear weapon in the future. There's a few different components to that. One, they would need to be able to have enough enriched uranium to make a bomb. That would require the centrifuges to enrich the uranium, or to have enough enriched uranium already to do that. And then, of course, they would need to have the weapons capability. And third of all, they would need to have the intent to do that. So where are we at today after these strikes? It does seem as though there's been significant damage to the centrifuges, although the scope of that damage still unknown. Some damage to potentially some damage to the stockpiles, very much unknown.
Yes.
How extensive that damage is. Different assessments that we've seen that range from you know, this has pushed back their ability to enrich by a few months, you know, which is not much more than where they were before. And I think to the third point of, you know, is there more or less intent right now on the part of the Iranians in pursuing a nuclear weapons program that would go beyond just an energy program? I think we could assess that actually there's probably more intent at this point. They have less incentive now to want to comply or negotiate around more visibility into their nuclear energy programs. And now that they've seen that there's, you know, their sort of conventional defenses are weakened, it may actually provide more incentive that they think, well, we really do, you know, unless we have a nuclear weapons capability now, you know, then we are more vulnerable to that secondary objective of regime change.
That was, as someone who thinks about incentives constantly, that was, I literally wrote down the word incentive after the bombing started, because one, the possibility of that sort of bombing, given that Israel was already engaged in these attacks, it was well known that the U.S. was, is the only country that possesses weapons that are these bunker busters. It so obviously the Iranians had to anticipate that at some level, hence let's move some of the nuclear material, et cetera, et cetera. And I thought, well, if we're going to bomb the crap out of them anyways, what is their incentive structure look like going forward? And so I'm very curious to see what may or potentially may not happen next week if indeed Americans and the Iranians get to the table, especially given the president's comments earlier today that, like, I don't need a deal. And I wanted to ask you a little bit about both the president's comments as well as the Secretary of Defense's publicly in the wake of Iran's bombing. It is, in fact, very and highly unusual for folks to come out, whether it's the president or people from the Defense Department, and make conclusive statements about the effectiveness of a bombing campaign that just concluded, because you have to talk to scientists, you have to get human intelligence, you have to get signals intelligence to see what exactly that foreign power is saying about the attacks before you effectively have a battle assessment of how effective it was. Here, it was seemingly within hours the president was making these statements. More to the point, and very unusually, at least by my understanding, John Ratcliffe, the director of the CIA, actually issued a press release yesterday, effectively echoing the president's statements. Meanwhile, Secretary Hegseth held a press conference to do the same. Press conferences at the Pentagon, not a typical thing. Like, that's not a place where you usually see those things, specifically about military campaigns in this way. How unusual has the president's statements and this sort of media blitz to contextualize or at least argue to the American people that Fordo was, quote, obliterated? It seemed pretty out of the norm to me.
I can certainly think of one historical example where we had such a definitive statement immediately after military action, and that was when President George W. Bush declared mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished, yeah.
And we know how, unfortunately, the months and years played out in Iraq after he made this categorical statement that we had accomplished all of our military aims. And so, you know, it may not be completely out of the historical norm, but it should certainly give, you know, the American public, it should certainly give Congress quite a lot of pause to hear such definitive categorical statements of success, particularly when, you know, we know that damage assessments will take a while, and particularly in a country like Iran, where we don't simply don't have great visibility, it's going to be, I would say it's going to be some months until we really get a full picture of what the damage was done at the Fordo site and what overall damage has been done to the nuclear program. So, you know, absolutely premature. And of course, we know, you know, seen reporting on this, and given everything that we know about this president, success to him is the media moment. He is much less concerned about what the long-term policy implications will be. He wants to, you know, he wanted to participate in these strikes because he felt like all of a sudden Israel is getting a lot of credit for doing something that looks successful. And hey, why don't we get in on this? Not necessarily because this was actually the best option and or would be the most successful option in preventing Iran from reaching a nuclear weapon to begin with. So again, I think, you know, to the president, this may feel successful because we went in, we did the bombing, and he's able to go on TV afterwards. But if we look, you know, 6 months, a year from now, at what the totality of the impact was, and not just, you know, the ability to achieve these objectives, but what are going to be, you know, the follow-on consequences of this later on down the line. So not just this initial, you know, damage assessment, but if there's not a good faith return to the negotiating table from either side, you know, does that precipitate a resumption of hostilities? If we find out that Iran does have, you know, these massive stockpiles of enriched uranium and is racing to develop a bomb, which could very well happen, does that mean we get drawn in once again to further military strikes and in a more robust way drawn into this war? Is Iran biding its time before it carries out retaliation against Americans? I mean, this is a regime that, you know, is known for playing dirty. So just way too soon to really understand the full scope of consequences, you know, in the way that I think the president and the secretary of defense would love to present to the American people.
It strikes me that for a long time, we had, you know, chairman of joint chiefs of staff, secretaries of defense, our national security agencies, our intelligence agencies that took great care to try to avoid the politicization of intelligence, that intelligence should be factual and represent our best factual understanding, and that there was this very bright line between political actors and those that act in the military and intelligence communities and the information that they provide, whether that's to the executive branch, Congress, or ultimately the American public. The blurring here of that line, I think, should be deeply concerning to all Americans, no matter what your political persuasion. And certainly, if Iran perceives its incentives to be materially null for engaging in continued diplomatic discussions to ensure that we can at least inspect their facilities, you know, do we have net negative here instead of total obliteration? We're going to continue this discussion with Allison McManus of the Center for American Progress Action Fund. She's the managing director of their National Security and International Policy Group. We're going to talk about impact versus costs of this particular military campaign and how that might resound for veterans looking at steep benefit cuts when we come back right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.